Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Dude elevates people.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Ben Lyons.
This dude is a winner.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
But I do have a little substitute teacher vibes. But the idea that you guys are on it, you're focused, you're dialed in.
Earlier on the show, Rams play-by-play announcer JB Long. Coming up from Turner Sports, Roe Parrish. Plus former NBA veteran and Fab Five member Jimmy King. And now, here's Ben Lyons.
Welcome back to the show. The show rolls on. Ben Lyons in for Rich. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Appreciate that guy on Twitter who just hit me up and said that Carmelo is joining the Live of Basketball. Yeah, thank you.
You see, Carmelo said that he doesn't want to play with his son.
Yeah, I saw that interview with Cassidy. Shout out to Cassidy Hubbard working hard out at Summer League. Yeah, that was an amazing interview last night. He's like, no, I don't
want to
do that.
I'm not doing that. I'm going to pass the torch. Is that a shot at LeBron?
No, that's a shot at his own body, being like, there's no way I'm going to last that long. That's what that was. That was him saying, my kid's got another 3 or 4 years, so he's going to be in the league.
I'm just looking for any shots at LeBron. That's all.
No, I'm just looking for this announcement. I hope it happens this week where we hear, you know, the breaking news that Carmelo Anthony has joined the Golden State Warriors as they look to repeat as NBA champions. I mean, what a perfect fit, right?
Are you going to immediately jump on the splash uncle?
Unk splash.
That is a genius t-shirt.
Come on.
I mean, that is just right to itself. Oh,
that would be amazing. I want Golden State for year 20, or I want Denver. Cue the Diddy music. I'm coming home. He comes back with Jokic, and he can be the one to elevate Jokic. Be amazing.
I don't think that's
back in Denver. It's the only way he gets his number retired there.
Yeah, but it doesn't. What number doesn't Joker wear? 15? Who wears 15?
Yeah, Joker does.
So it's Carmelo gonna give him, like, Joker just signed for 200 and like whatever million dollars.
But if Melo wins that title, oh man, in Denver, that would be great.
If Melo does sign with Denver, though, Joker should give up 15 for him, right?
That would be cool. And then, yeah, he actually might sell some jerseys, Jokic. You could have a new number this year, and everyone would go and get it. I think it would be dope. I would love Denver Melo to return for one last run.
You don't like Jokic, do you?
I'm not a Jokic guy. Not.
What is it about him that you don't like?
I don't like the attitude. I thought he almost murdered a Morris twin.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I don't like how he got kicked out as the MVP of a deciding playoff game, an elimination playoff game for his team. He was ejected in the third quarter. What behavior is that? It's absurd. And then he goes off and is off making some horse pull him around Serbia. This footage of him riding in a cart.
None of this really has anything to do with his basketball skill.
But you will acknowledge how great he is.
He's incredible. Okay, he's incredible. But no, here's my issue. No, genuinely, here's my nerdy basketball issue with him. The same way that my friends would attack me for Carmelo and that how his game is so, you know, unique as a scorer that he can't do anything. Jokic is that way. He's so special and unique a player. You have to run your offense through him, just like you had to do with Melo. And it can only take you so far, just like Melo could. Melo didn't have that next level of greatness to his game, and I'm the first to admit that, and the same is with Jokic. You cannot have a guy who's a defensive liability and someone who can't, you know, close out playoff games by being in the games. He's getting ejected in games. It's ridiculous.
That's one game he got ejected.
Yeah, it happened
you must
once.
Hate Draymond.
Draymond's not the MVP of the league.
He does the same stuff, though. Like, I don't know if this is, like, fake, like, horror against Jokic, but you can't. Like, come on, bro.
Nothing fake over here, CJ. It's all real, bro.
Because this dude really literally has the only hole in his game is you might say defensively he's a liability, but I'd say 70% of the National Basketball Association is
just
a defensive
the same
liability.
Energy that Melo got for being a defensive liability, for not getting to the next level. I want to see that same energy for Jokic.
But it isn't, because Jokic also averages like 10 assists a game, bro. He's a willing.
Who did you want Melo to pass the ball to? 35-year-old rookie Pablo Prigioni?
I don't know, but I mean, Edward talking skill set wise, you can't. You can't really knock
him. I want to see, look, Joker has been amazing the last 2 years, obviously MVP. I want to see him this year with, oh, I don't know, his two best teammates
that
didn't
the
play
thing.
Last season. So.
Because Jamal is kind of good at basketball.
Yeah, so is MPJ, you know. So I want to see them out there with
him. You know my thoughts on MPJ.
You know, running full force.
No, what are your thoughts?
You know my thoughts about MPJ? No. He's just like a grown-up bad guy from a Mighty Ducks movie.
He does look like
Doesn't that. He look like, or like Three Ninjas. He's like the bad guy in the karate tournament. He's, now he's all grown up. All right, let's get to TJ's.
Hey, Dennis Rodman's joining the Live Basketball Tour.
Yeah, sure. Let's get to this is TJ's greatest basketball players in the history of every NBA franchise. Yesterday TJ, we did the Central.
What kind of music you want, TJ? Just have to ask.
You know, John Tesh. Let's get a little Tesh. No,
I'll let you pick it, Mikey. You know, give me something basketball wise. You know,
a basketball symphony. No.
Hey, that sounds like the ball dribbling to me. I like that, yo. DJ All right, guys, so we're back, man. We're going to continue with this Let's whole GOAT thing, and now we're on the Southwest Division in the Western Conference. So we have the Mavericks, the Rockets, the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, and the Spurs. So right off the bat, I'm going to start with the easy one. We're going to start with the San Antonio Spurs, five-time National Basketball Association champions, rich history, one of, if not maybe possibly the greatest coach in all of all time, and Greg Popovich. He's definitely in that conversation. I think that's something we'd all agree upon, and a rich history of players. And so it really boiled down to a group of guys that included Manny Ginobili, Tony Parker, George Gervin, David Robinson, and Altoona, Pennsylvania's finest, my godbrother, Johnny Moore, who used to run point guard for the Spurs. But ultimately, Tim Duncan is the greatest Spur of all time, widely regarded as the greatest power forward of all time. In my top 10 NBA players of all time list, Tim Duncan, just unbelievable. And he's the reason that I yell at every big man and say, you see the square on the glass, use that, it'll help your game. Next up, the Dallas Mavericks.
Well, the big fundamental, you mentioned Tony Parker, greatest player in the history of France. You mentioned Manu Ginobili, greatest player in the history of South America. And don't forget someone who put on a
Oscar Schmidt is from Brazil, so that could be.
Okay, it's up for debate. And then somebody else who put on a Spurs jersey, you should get some love. Probably the greatest player in the history of New York City playgrounds, Lloyd Daniels.
Sweet P. Daniels.
Sweet P. So I mean, gotta shout him out.
I'm remiss for not mentioning him. I'm a big Lloyd Daniels fan. Watched about two different documentaries. Got to see the guy play in Pittsburgh when the ABA came back. And Lloyd Daniels, 6'8 point guard who got real low and dribbled. I'll never forget that. That was interesting.
And one of my favorite international players of all time played for the Spurs, Uwe Blob.
Uwe Blob. What do you think about Tim Duncan, Brockman? Would you say that that's
Tim
pretty
Duncan.
Much the...
Yeah, no-brainer for Tim Duncan, the all big right. fundamental.
Good, we're in agreement there. All right, so Dallas Mavericks up next. Mavs, what are they, one-time NBA champion? I can't remember right
one
now.
Time,
I just drew a blank
one
there.
Time.
Another team that, first and foremost, I want to give a shout-out to another Altoona guy, Mike Izzolino. Used to play point guard for the Mavs. Didn't really have a great Mavs career, but if you ever played NBA Jam back in the day, he was on NBA Jam, Ben. So that alone puts him on some type of great list. But with the Mavs, we have Rolando Blackman. If you know your early 80s, late 90s NBA.
I remember playing a road high school basketball game in Brooklyn, and we walked into the gym, and I saw Rolando Blackman was doing the play-by-play for the game, and I knew we were going to get waxed by 30. And we did.
Derek Harper, another point guard.
Increased his scoring average the first 10 years of his career.
That, you know how hard that is to do, by the way?
Yeah, Derek Harper was nice.
Yes. Mark Aguirre. Jason Kidd, again, two great, great Mavs. But I went with Dirk Nowitzki on this one.
Has to be, no brainer.
Has to be Dirk, correct?
I love the big German. Dirk's incredible. His game, the way that it evolved throughout his career as his athleticism dwindled, was a joy to watch. I love Dirk Nowitzki. I'm so happy he got one. Yep. I was rooting for him in that second series against the Heat. Big Dirk guy.
Brockman is someone who like claims to be a great 3-point shooter.
Wow.
When you think about Dirk, you got a guy who's 7 feet tall, who already shoots with the ball over his head, right? And that fadeaway, virtually impossible to stop him when he got it going.
Yeah, one of the most unstoppable shots ever. Do you guys have Dirk in your top 10 all time?
I would have to really sit and dissect.
I would say no.
That's probably a 12, maybe. I put Hakeem Olajuwon over Dirk.
I would say,
but I do have Dirk's old man jump shot in my game now. As we're heading into One Last Summer Tour, that's what we're calling this year.
I've retired.
The One Last Summer Tour. You're retired.
I think I've retired.
I'm playing every game like my last.
Could be. You I would say Dirk. Case, it's over.
Dr. Dirk. Clapper, you're either pre-op or post-op.
I would say Dirk definitely top 25, and then it would have to break it down from
Dirk
there.
I'd say Dirk might be, and I'm with Ben. I'm in that 12 to kind of 16 range for Dirk, I think.
Like I said, I'll definitely say 25 and probably even lower than that, but just off the top of my head.
So far, these have all been easy. You know, you hit us with a bunch yesterday. These are all kind of been like everybody knows. Are there any in this list today that
there
might be some
debate? Well, that's why I start off with the easy ones. Now we're going to go one more easy one before we get to the harder ones, and that's the Houston Rockets.
Right.
Houston Rockets, of course, you know, you go the whole way back to Calvin Murphy, and you have the great Moses Malone.
Rudy T.
Tracy McGrady, Rudy Tomjanovich, James Harden. And Brockman will tell you, James Harden, if you don't know, if you don't remember, put in some serious work as a member of the Rockets.
Yao, don't forget Yao.
Yao Ming, too. I'm career cut short, but definitely, you know, a very identifiable Rocket player. But it's Hakeem Olajuwon. The man's nickname is The Dream. You don't get a nickname like The Dream unless you're really good. And guess what? This man was really good. As the great Michael Jordan once told me, quote, "We could never do anything with Hakeem." So that should kind of tell you how great this man was.
You really get an understanding of Hakeem Olajuwon's greatness from hearing the stories of other players, either players who played against him, or I told you guys, you know, I was coaching out last week with Kenny Smith out in Long Island, and he talks about playing alongside Hakeem on those two championship teams and just how dominant he was and how incredible he was as a leader and a person. And it's why all the big guys go and visit him, still get their footwork on. And it's just, he's definitely kind of slept on in the all-time great conversation around the NBA.
So, okay, now we're going to get to the harder ones, guys.
Let's do it.
These are the ones we're going to start here with: the Memphis Grizzlies, formerly the Vancouver Grizzlies. This was tough. You know, doesn't obviously have the long, rich history that these other teams have, but they've had some really good players. You know, my man Sharif Abdul-Rahim is someone who I really enjoyed watching. Mike Bibby.
Steve Francis, not on this list.
Steve
then.
Francis, we could say. Big Country Bryant Reeves.
Big Country.
Oh, I Very tried good. So hard to write him into an All-Star game. Remember, we used to actually write in the ballots?
Yes.
I used to go to every McDonald's on the Upper West Side and just take all the ballots and write in Bryant Reeves. Didn't happen.
Didn't happen. You know, but it's boiling down to two players right now, guys. And my two players are Mark Gasol and Zach Randolph.
Yeah,
I'm like, one of these two has to be the greatest player in franchise history. And I went back and forth with these guys. You know, of course, Mark Gasol had the Defensive Player of the Year award.
Yep.
A little bit longer career with the team. But to me, the greatest era of Memphis Grizzlies basketball, not counting what we've got going on right now in the Jaw area, that Grindhouse era with Gasol, with Tony Allen, with Mike Conley. And I feel like Zach Randolph just embodied everything that that team and that culture was about. So for that reason, I went with Zach Randolph, Debo, as the Grizzlies coach.
I gotta say, it's only a couple years in, but like it probably should be Ja, right?
I mean, Ja, like I said yesterday with the Bucks, 10 years from now, whoever does this list, it'll probably be Ja.
So I saw Ja play 5 times live this year, and I never saw him play once in Memphis. Like, I'm obsessed with this man. He is, honestly, on the list of top 5 athletes you would pay top dollar to see play live in all of sports.
Yeah.
He is worth it. It is an experience. I remember there was one of those old like NBA superstars tape. They always talked about how when you paid to see Dr. J, he wanted to give you one moment that you said, "That's why I paid my money. I got my money's worth. Yeah. I saw that." And Ja does that like times. He gives you 5 moments.
I think every performer would probably share that belief, right?
But the problem is you got to go out there and do it. And I don't like that he played less than 60 games. I don't like that.
Also the fact that the team went something like 22-2 in his absence.
Right. I don't like that Jaren Jackson's not going to be ready till January or so. So they're going to have an interesting season. And now he's paid. And I want to see him take it to another level because he should be the one who is the answer to that question.
Yeah.
Who's the greatest player
in
the
history? But as of today, he can't be.
No.
But
no,
like
Zebo,
I said,
he's the head of the snake. I thought you were going to mention Connolly as the greatest player ever, and he has the longest tenure.
I gave him a shout out there.
Yeah,
definitely Zebo. And now we're coming up with the New Orleans Pelicans, formerly Charlotte Hornets. And so you had to merge those franchise history and kind of, you know, you have your Alonzo Mournings, your Larry Johnsons, you know, your Kelly Trepukas, you know, great former Hornets. And then you get to the Pelican side. Then the Oklahoma City Hornets. Remember, we had that whole era with David West and Chris Paul. But I think basically, guys, when you look at the numbers and you break it all down, even though this man right now is kind of getting dragged by the new media, old media, and we're kind of talking bad, well, not we, because I haven't, but people talk kind of bad about him. The fact of the matter is Anthony Davis put in some very serious work on the basketball court. And I think he's more than worthy of being the GOAT of that entire franchise.
Yeah, won the All-Star Game MVP in New Orleans as well when he was playing there, and took them to the playoffs and won a playoff series, I believe, in New Orleans. A longer, you know, if you look at Larry Johnson and Alonzo Mourning's careers, they really had their postseason success defined elsewhere.
But Alonzo,
in Miami,
like,
and New York.
One of my things was you have to play at least three seasons. Alonzo just had three for them, and then he moved on. So
yeah, really. Alonzo, I think, went on to play in the NBA Finals with New Jersey. Yeah. Like he went on and had a great career after
in Miami.
In Charlotte.
He went and won the ring. So.
Yeah, and their history was so new back then. So he would obviously be their greatest player playing for 3 years.
Well, Kelly Trepukas.
Honestly, I think
too.
Muggsy Bogues might be their best player.
I apologize. I'm sorry. I wrote Muggsy's name here. I forgot to mention. To me, Muggsy Bogues, guys, and I think Chris, you and I have talked about this. I think legitimately one of the absolute greatest athletes that this planet has ever seen. When you consider a 5'3" point guard playing that long, what, 14 years in the association?
So we have a family connection as to why Tyrone Bogues is called Muggsy. My father's godfather is a playwright named Sidney Kingsley. He wrote this play called The Bowery Boys, a collection of stories about kids growing up on the Lower East Side during the Depression. They turned that into a TV show that apparently Tyrone Bogues and his friends would watch every day after school. The leader of the crew on the show was this little tiny guy who was a lot tougher than his stature would suggest, and his nickname on the show was Muggsy. So everyone in the town in Winston-Salem knew that Tyrone loved that show. They called him Muggsy off of the show that my father's godfather wrote. So there you go.
There you go.
Muggsy Bogues connection.
Muggsy Bogues. Shout out to Muggsy, man.
Is that the whole, that's it? That's all the teams?
That's that whole division right there.
I like it. So we got Dirk, Hakeem Olajuwon, Zach Randolph, Anthony Davis, Tim Duncan. Very international. We're taking it to the Cayman Islands.
We're worldwide.
We're the greatest worldwide swimmer. The greatest swimmer in the history of the Cayman Islands. Pretty cool. Hakeem Olajuwon.
We're internationally known from the east to the west coast.
Yeah, the Cayman Islands, I thought, were just only for offshore bank accounts.
Now you know.
Like, I didn't even know that was a real place. I thought it was just made up for the movies. Like, Gene Hackman's like, I got to go to the Caymans. That's not a real place.
Right. There's laws don't exist there. Yeah, that's not a real place. Yeah. It's like something you hear about in The Firm.
That's what I mean. Like, it's not a real place. It's like, oh, I got an offshore account in the Caymans. Oh, cool. That's for TV. Like 555 area code for
hey, movies. Guys, what better setting for the 150th Open than the old course at St. Andrews? Think about it. It's the birthplace of golf. It's where the hope of today is inspired by the legends already written here. The Open Championship, Saturday, 7 a.m. Eastern. That's 4 a.m. out here on the West Coast on NBC and Peacock. Wake up with the Open Championship at St. Andrews. Coming up next, my old co-host, Ro Parrish, from my days on the warm-up. You know him from Turner Sports, NBA TV. Hangs out with Deion Sanders as well. Ed Reed. Yeah, he's a character. We got Ro Parrish checking in next. It's Ben Lyons filling in for Rich on The Rich Eisen Show. Every golf equipment company claims to be longer off the tee. You know that? Every
I've
golf equipment
that, yeah.
company says, yeah, we're the longest off the tee. We're the longest. But guess what? Callaway's new Rogue ST driver is the only one built to completely bomb it. It's been speed tuned to the I got to slow down because the speed tune is too fast. It's been speed tuned to be Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. Whew, that was fast. Every Rogue ST is engineered with a new tungsten speed cartridge, which gives you more speed on off-center hits and provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI. But that's just the beginning, because Callaway has engineered a Rogue ST for every type of golfer, every player on the golf course. Most golfers, well, they'll fit into the max because of its incredible combination of distance and forgiveness. But there's also Max D, their dedicated draw model for players who need more shot shape correction. Now, if you need something more low spin, there's Max LS, which gives you stronger trajectory with a more neutral ball flight. But for the true players out there, the real OGs, the real players, players play, as my high school coach Ray Vokel always used to say, the Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS is the compact, low spin head that the tour players love. Callaway has thought through every aspect of speed. So all you have to do is go to Rogue, find your Rogue SC driver at callawaygolf.com/rogue. Roe Parish coming up next. Ben Lyons in for Rich and the Rich Eisen Show. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Welcome back. Ben Lyons in here for Rich all week long. I appreciate anybody who's watching, listening, tweeting, commenting, just engaging with our show. These guys work so hard every day to put on this program, and it's a joy to be a part of. I look forward to this opportunity. And yeah, it's really cool to come here and feel like it's home. It's wild. Last year, a bunch of strangers I'm staring out at.
That's right.
Now I got family here. It's nice.
Yeah,
it's
we weren't sure about you at first.
It's like a Fast and Furious movie. Just pull out the Coronas and let's live our life 1/4 mile at a time. It's all about family.
Family.
Somebody else who's my family, he was my family for a few years when I was hosting a show down in Atlanta at the TNT Studios, Turner Studios down there, which is just like basketball heaven. You feel like you have entered the gates of basketball heaven and you get to hang out with your childhood heroes. Hosted a show with him called The Warm Up that was on NBA Twitter. He's still down there at NBA TV. It's my co-host. It's Roe Parish. He joins the show now. How you doing, man?
Man, I am amazing. You are now rocking with the best. The Hoop Host with Bars. I'm blessed. Oh, yes. Ben, what's good?
Coming with the energy today, bro. I love it. I love it. Now, when you're doing radio, do the sunglasses match the pocket square and the tie, or are you going with a different outfit today?
Well, you know, I'm going to text you a picture as soon as we're done. In fact, I think I have the capability to do it right now. You'll see that the glasses actually match with the shirt.
Love it.
Everything's going to be coordinated, you know?
Got to stay sharp. Got to stay ready so you don't have to get ready, right, Ro?
Absolutely.
You know,
got to coordinate.
You've been down there with the NBA for a few years now, working with Atlanta, covering the game on NBA TV, and you've gotten to watch some incredible games and some incredible moments. When you think about just hanging out there in the offices, are there any games or plays or moments that you got to watch and you had to almost kind of pinch yourself that the basketball fan in you was allowed to be in that room?
Well, I mean, you always go back to the big playoff moments or big regular season games that have been close. I can recall a couple of Dame Lillard game winners when we're watching in the back green room with Shaq, Kenny, and Chuck, and they go crazy. The staff goes crazy, just like we're fans watching the game. So I always go back to moments like that. Those are always the big playoff games. I recall a game, a regular season game. It was Nikola Jokic and his Denver Nuggets going up against the Dallas Mavericks. So it was late in the game, and Luka and the Joker just kept exchanging clutch baskets. Now, I can't remember the exact game, but it was late in the season. It was just one of those moments, and we kept just saying, oh, oh, oh. And it's like, yo, this can't get any better. So those are the moments you always remember, those big late game situations.
Talking Jokic, of course, it's a regular season game, guys, not a playoff game, Ro's talking about. Just want to throw that in there. Just want to put that out there. But hey, Ro, we were talking about Isaiah yesterday, and I know someone, you know, he's somebody you guys are very close now. We need an Isaiah Thomas documentary. We need the full story. When you're sitting in there late night with Zeke and you're hanging out on a game time at, you know, 12:30, 1 o'clock in January, what are some of the things he's telling you about life and his career?
Well, Zeke is number one, and let me preface this. I grew up outside of Dallas, but I have Chicago ties. So I was the biggest Chicago Bulls fan ever. I still have paper cutouts, championship T-shirts, championship hats from the three-peat for the Chicago Bulls, first and second three-peat. I hated Isaiah Thomas as a player. I hated him. The moment I get to NBA TV, he becomes my favorite person to work with. Because I come in with these preconceived notions, and he ends those immediately with how genuine of a person that he is. He's sweet. He's loving. He's caring. He is a basketball savant. He tells you everything that you need to know about basketball and even gives you advice off the floor. And let's break this down for a second. He's held every position in the NBA. He's a top 75, top 50 player, Hall of Fame player, championship player. He's been a coach. He's been an executive. He's been an owner. So he's done everything in the league. So he has a perspective on every single situation. But the best moments are when he's telling stories about moments. And I can't disclose everything, but just moments with him and Lambeer on the bus and things that they discussed and how they came together and said, this is what we're going to do when the Bulls swept them in that last Eastern Conference Finals in 1991. So it was really something that was planned, not to be disrespectful, but it was something that the Celtics had did to them in the past when they had been eliminated. They didn't shake their hands when they exited the floor. Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, they led their team off the floor. They didn't shake the Pistons' hand when they were eliminated. So they just took that as, okay, this is the changing of the guard. This is how we handle ourselves. Now we look back and say, oh, man, that was so disrespectful. It was wrong, but that was just how things worked back then. Not everybody was buddy-buddy like they're in the league today. But Zeke was definitely one of the best, if not the best, leader in the game that we've ever seen, and I love him to life.
Ro Parrish joining the show, NBA TV. I should say NBA champion Ro Parrish, who received a ring for his work as the 2011 Dallas Mavericks DJ. Also has football ties, working with Deion Sanders in the NFL and buddies with Ed Reed. So talk to me a little bit about Coach Prime and what you see him doing down, as a coach now at this stage of his career and how it's changing college football.
Shouts out to Coach Prime, who has the it factor. And I think we all know that. And it's something that can't be taught. It can't be coached. It's just something that he was born with. He's been successful in pretty much everything that he's done on the field. We know about his football acumen, Hall of Fame player, arguably the greatest defensive player ever to do it. And now he's become a leader of men. And let's not get it twisted. Yes, he's doing amazing things at Jackson State, but he's been Coach Prime for close to 10, 15 years now. His work outside of Dallas, working with young kids, then going to Trinity, the high school there, and leading that team to 3 straight championships. He's been doing this for a long time. Now, Jackson State, obviously, they've had a ton of success. Shador is there. He's going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the nation. Make sure you pay attention to what Jackson State does this year. Something tells me that they might just get invited to a major bowl game. Obviously, they're not in a situation to make the college football playoff, but a major bowl game. Don't be surprised if they get in there and win that thing.
You know, you've had some wild adventures, Ro, where 12-year-old Ro has to be so proud of the man you've become, because you've gotten to work alongside some of your heroes and form some great relationships. I'm going to tell a story about being in Vegas once with Ro. We were out there for CES covering the convention, and Ro says, hey, what are we up to tonight? You want to go meet up with Shaq? And I'm thinking, Shaq? Las Vegas? I've heard the stories. Yeah. This is going to be crazy. Yeah. Sign me up. Where are we going to dinner? Where's the table? Where's the after party? Ro takes me to some strip mall off the strip, like complete hole in the wall, nowhere, little bar. Didn't even know if it was open. And we walk in and there's a 7-foot Shaquille O'Neal just sitting in there with a hookah. And you're like, wow, this is how Shaq gets down in Vegas? Like, that was nuts. You've had some adventures with this dude, because you know him not only from NBA TV and Turner, but you know him from DJ life. What's it like been becoming buddies with Shaq?
Man, Shaq is my brother. He is utterly amazing, a great human being who is a big-ass kid. Sorry I curse, but I'm just going to call it like I see it. He's literally a 14-year-old in a 50-year-old man's body, good heart, always ready to have fun, always doing crazy stuff. We've done all types of skits on social media, some that we can't post because they would get us in trouble, but we've done a lot of things. And you talk about the DJing. One of our higher-ups saw a video of one of the concerts that we did out there. She was like, you can't do that anymore. You need to come off stage. Because Shaq obviously knows that I'm that guy. I'm a retired DJ. I'm familiar with that life. So when you're on stage with Shaq and he's rocking it out and you got bottles in your hand and you're pouring it, in chicks' mouths, that's not really something that's acceptable by the people at Turner Sports.
No. But a good value. Hey, listen, I once went to a Victoria's Secret keg party with Lauren Conrad, and the president of the E! Channel called me into his office and said, Ben, if you ever go to a party like that ever again, you have to invite me. So we've all been there. We've all learned. We've all grown. We've all lived to tell the tale. Ro Parrish joining the show, NBA TV. What I love too, Ro, about watching you late at night now doing these highlights with Sam Mitchell and with Smitty and with everybody down there in Atlanta is that you have a real camaraderie now with everyone because you've been there for a few years. There's a shorthand. There's a language that everybody speaks that it feels like family. So just talk to me and talk to our listeners and viewers just about the community of on-air talent that Turner has built down there with the former players and why it's such a special place.
Well, there's a certain formula, and I don't know if it's written down somewhere. The people in talent services might have it. They don't share it, but there's a certain formula of former players and individuals that they bring into Turner Sports. You have to be able to be, number one, hardworking, but at the same time, someone who can laugh at themselves and enjoy other people having a good time, and you got to love hoops. So it's a special combination of those three that brings everybody in together, and we all just genuinely like each other. It's like having true teammates. You know, I never was a professional, but it's the closest thing to being in the locker room, guys, when you go in and get dressed and you walk in there on a hockey night. Oh, excuse me. Hi, my name is Wayne. Oh, yeah, Wayne Gretzky. I'm very familiar with who you are. So we have the NHL side. That's been great. You walk in there, Charles Barkley's in there one night, and he says, hey, man, I just got a record player. Could you help me out? Sure, Chuck, what do you need? Yeah, could you come set it up for me at my house? Got you, no problem. Go to Chuck's house. Chuck, this record player sucks. No, we're going to keep it. We're going to use it. Hold on for a second. Let me call my good friend DJ Jazzy Jeff, who's a legend. Yeah, Jeff, look at this record. Yeah, this is trash. Throw it away. Let me call DJ Clark Kent, who's a record, the man who helped discover the Notorious B.I.G. and Jay-Z. Bro, tell Chuck to throw that record in the trash. That is done. So, Chuck, two of my respected friends that are legends in games that throw the record player away, I go purchase him a new record player. Shout out to the people at Pioneer. They took care of me, got him some new records, got him set up. He was so happy. The first record I throw on for him is Frank Sinatra, My Way, which is his go-to song anytime he is doing karaoke. And he will tell you he is arguably the greatest karaoke singer of all time. So Chuck loves me to this day for that. And that was an awesome moment. And I bought him some more records, and we still have fun to this day.
DJing Adventures with Roe Parrish, NBA TV, Ben Lyons in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. Obviously, it's that time of year where everybody is hitting refresh on the Woj bombs. We are anxiously awaiting the news of where Kevin Durant might play basketball next year. Ro, I know as a fan, you're always looking for great stories, and you know, you want to see basketball players at the highest level succeed at the highest level. So where do you want to see Kevin Durant play basketball next year?
I want Kevin Durant to go wherever he is happy. You know, like, it seems miserable right now. It didn't work out, the Kyrie experiment. You know, Kyrie Irving has played more games with Sean Marion. He's played more games with Kevin Love. You can go down the list. There's a number of players he's played more games with than he has with Kevin Durant. And this was supposed to be the greatest assemblance of talent ever. Not going to happen. Didn't work. So, me personally, I would love to see Kevin Durant in a Miami Heat uniform, to be a part of that culture, and just to go down there with Coach Spo, Pat Riley, the legend. Shouts out to Caron Butler, who's an assistant coach there. Just get in with that group, because they're all about toughness, hard work, they have that culture. I would like to see how KD would thrive in that environment.
I'd also like to see how Rich Kleiman would thrive in all that linen. He'd be wearing a lot of linen courtside in Miami. Speaking about guys changing teams, you know, we're coming up on the 20th season for LeBron James and for the ninth all-time scorer in the history of the NBA, a man who opened a vineyard this summer in the south of France, Carmelo Anthony. So where would you like to see Melo finish up the career? You think he's going to sign with Golden State, help them repeat, Ro? Let's talk that into existence.
You know what, Ben? I know that you would love that. But why not have Carmelo go back to one of his former stops, whether that be Denver, where he could be an absolute... I guess he would wear number 70. Couldn't wear 15. Sorry. Sidetrack for a minute. Go to Denver or go back to New York. Go back to the places where you are loved, you are appreciated, and close out your career there. You know, get some more points on the board with the Knicks, because we know they're not going to be competing for any type of championship anytime soon. Or you can help the Nuggets bolster their roster, their depth, and maybe they can compete and get out of the first round.
Ro, the idea of Melo coming back to New York and ending his career in orange and blue has me like a teething infant. I would just be weeping the entire season. I don't think I have the emotional fortitude to survive that. What's on deck for you? A little off-season time. We're going to see you over partying with like Paul George and Karl Anthony Towns at his wedding in Italy or something? Or what are we doing?
Yeah, man. I'm not going to Italy. And shouts out to those guys. Shouts out to everybody that's enjoying the off-season. And I'm enjoying my offseason, too. I will not be in Italy, though.
We're not going to see you on the Magic Johnson, like, yacht in Greece wearing a Versace T-shirt, no?
Unfortunately, no. That's a couples-only getaway, and I don't have a significant other to join me as of now, so I didn't get the invite.
Well, the summer is young, Ro. The best is yet to come. Wishing you a lot of love and success, man. I appreciate you. I miss you, and I hope we get to cross paths in real life soon.
Man, I appreciate you, Ben, as always. Keep doing your thing, brother. Love you to life. And always remember, hey, this is what I like to say. Stats at night, keep my game tight. Flow, stay right. Spit stats on highlights. Who else on TV can do it like he? My name's not Mike, but they want to be like me. That's all I got.
Bro, Paris, drop the mic.
Bars.
There it is. Appreciate you elevating the show.
Ro came to spit.
Ro came with the bars.
That's what's up.
And the pocket square matches the brooch. Hey, come on. What?
All day.
Killer.
All day.
It's my man.
It's called fashion, folks. Fashion.
Man, this is one of my favorite times, though, in the NBA calendar, not just because it's summer league, not just because it's free agency, but also we get NBA vacations on social media. I'm seeing this video right now of Karl Anthony Towns and Paul George turning up. Magic's on the boat. He got a call from the prime minister of Greece. Like, it's
yeah, what is
NBA
that?
Vacation season. So.
It's Magic and Sam Jackson and Uncle L. Cool J.
Oh,
like, come
it.
On.
I love it so
Magic
much.
Magic Johnson exclusively shop at outlet malls?
No, I have to find out how this happens because there must be someone
who. All of his logos are gigantic.
Right. Someone works for Magic Johnson who goes to the outlets about a week before the annual trip to the Mediterranean and just goes to like Versace and Polo Calvin Klein and Nike and just gets the biggest logo t-shirts they can find.
Amazing.
It's remarkable. Size triple extra large.
How do I get
guys, those
job?
Yachts don't pay for themselves. You know, it's ooh, branding.
That's
is,
true.
You know.
Hey, I love an outlet mall. You don't have to tell me twice.
I would love, what would you do if you were just like on vacation somewhere and you saw Magic Johnson in a giant Versace t-shirt with a tiny little gelato walking down the street?
I would go talk to him.
It'd be so great.
I'd be like, can I run your Twitter, please?
Well, pretty much anything in Magic's hands is going to be tiny. I mean, he's a giant.
Well, this tweet from Magic Johnson. The team that signs Kevin Durant is going to have an opportunity to compete for a championship. Oh, thank you, Magic.
Okay, Ben,
thank
so you weren't around. Like, that was Brockman first picked up on this about 3-4 months ago, during right when the playoffs started. Magic's tweets were very...
He's telling
on
you
the nose.
What's happening.
Let's just put it that way. They were very on the nose.
He's telling you exactly what's going on.
He's telling you exactly what is happening.
I believe at the end of the game.
Associated Press. It's Magic Johnson.
He's USA Today.
Just here for the facts.
I believe at the end of the game, the team with the most points will win.
Win the game.
Okay. And the team that makes the most stops on defense.
Amazing.
Will have a chance to win the game. All right. So, hey, let's do some, speaking of chance to win, got Emmy nominations.
Oh my goodness.
Bunch of shows I probably haven't watched got nominated. Let's get into that next. Yeah, some Emmy noms. Plus, coming up at 11 o'clock here on the West Coast, 2 o'clock on the East Coast, we've got our top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. Each one of us put together a little list. We'll see where the crossover lies. We'll get into all that next. Ben Lyons in for Rich. This is the Rich Eisen Show. All right, everybody. Ben Lyons here, rocking out on the Rich Eisen Show. Very excited. We're going to have 1/5 of the Fab Five join the show.
Yeah, man.
I went to the University of Michigan, as Rich did, as did our guest coming up in about 30 minutes or so, Jimmy King. Jimmy King's also in my family. Did you know that?
What?
Jimmy King and I are family members.
Okay, please break this down for us. Explain.
About 7 years ago.
23andMe this for me, please.
About 7 years ago, I was sitting on my couch. I got a phone call from one Jalen Rose.
Jalen.
Who said, hey, man, what are you doing next week? Do you want to be in my family?
Okay.
What do you mean? He goes, you're family, dog. You can come be in my family on Family Feud. So I went on Family Feud in Jalen Rose's family. They brought out the Rose family, and it was Jacoby, his producer from Countdown, Amina Hussein, shout out to my sister, and Jimmy King, and me. And we won $50,000 for the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy. We beat some guy from News Radio. It was amazing.
I had
idea. Yeah, Jimmy King and I are in the same family. You didn't know that?
What was your category? Did you get to go up there and do it?
Oh, my God. It's the absolute best. So the category is, what does a man buy a woman a pair of?
Okay.
Earrings. I said earrings.
Yep.
Somebody else said shoes. Jimmy King said bras, which was just the greatest answer in the history of Family Feud.
Yeah,
a woman buys a man.
I just said draws.
A man buys
that.
A woman a pair of bras is what Jimmy King said. Steve Harvey milked that for about 10 minutes of real time that on the show was edited down to about 20 seconds.
Right.
But for 10 minutes on a soundstage in Culver City.
Amazing.
I thought I died. It was really the greatest moment ever. So yeah, Jimmy King in my family, he's going to be calling up in
that
about 40 minutes.
Spectacular.
I'll see him out in Detroit in about a month. I'm going out to Jalen's golf tournaments. I think year 11 or 12
for the JRLA Invitational, raising money for the school. It's a 9 to 16 year model. So they mentor the kids, they work with the kids after they graduate high school as they continue on to college or the military. That's awesome. Or all these amazing things they do. And the school's been around for like 10 plus years. So the kids are out in the workforce and living in Detroit and just doing great things in the community. So shout out to the Jaguars, the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy. We've got Jimmy King calling up in about 40 minutes or so. Some Emmy noms came out today. Brockman's all fired up.
Yeah, no, we're just a big fan of television and pop culture here, and the Emmy noms were announced, and I was just looking at the shows, the best drama series that came out. Better Call Saul was nominated.
I hear it's good. I was told yesterday I should see this show.
It's back last night. No spoilers, obviously, but if you saw last night, oh my God, like what an episode. Euphoria, Ozark, phenomenal. Severance. We had Adam Scott in here last 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Squid Game, Stranger Things, Succession, we love.
Eight nominations?
And
really?
Yellow Jackets.
That is a lot, because now they let you vote.
Eight shows.
Because I vote for them. I get to vote.
Boy, when there's some writer flexing out there who's just putting their heart into their work.
I don't vote for stuff I don't watch.
Okay, and they're like, I hope Del Tufo just watches this so he can vote.
I just do stuff I watch, because Brockman called me out this morning. He's like, you didn't even watch after shows. And he knows, and I won't vote. I do the same.
I was going to say, on this list, Mike, you only watch Succession.
Like, no, I saw Squid Game. Squid Game, I watched
We got
a couple
this ballot here from my Mike Del Tufo. It says, best drama series, Real Housewives of Salt Lake.
I thought this was a good chance for us to talk about Winning Time, because Winning Time was shut out. They only got nominated for a cinematography Emmy, but nothing for best show, no supporting actor. I kind of thought John C. Reilly was going to be a lock for best actor here, not nominated. What did you think of Winning Time? Because we've talked a lot about it on this show.
Yeah, I got a lot of issues with Winning Time, to be honest, because the way that the train left the station was they optioned Jeff Perlman's award-winning book, Showtime, which was about what happened with the 80s Lakers. That is a factual account of what happened.
Yep.
They used that to get everybody rallied around the project to start the train to leave the station in Hollywood. And then they get to this end point where it's Adam McKay's kind of interpretation and stuff that didn't happen, and they're making fun of certain people. And, you know, to have Kareem and Jerry West come out and be so angry about the show. I understand that sometimes real life people can feel like some facts were changed or altered for dramatic license. But I mean, the letter that Kareem wrote in The Hollywood Reporter, how can you watch that show and celebrate it? It's a fun time, sure. And Adrian Brody's great as Pat Riley. And it's really awesome to watch the things you love come to life in scripted form. Like, I love NBA basketball. I love the marketing of NBA basketball. So to see the stories behind the scenes, I thought it was very cool. But what happens is you don't know what's true or what's not true, and you don't have to recreate history. It's okay to have some dramatic license, but to have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar come out and be like, how dare you do this? That, I think, tainted the show in the eyes of a lot of voters like Del Tufo.
I think for me, we've talked a lot about it, TJ, but I think for me, the fact that those guys were so strongly against it just kind of reaffirmed that it was true and it really all happened.
That was Chris's take on it.
They were just kind of pissed that it's really
Kareem
all...
says, you have me cursing at a child. Like, I would never do that. That's a real character assassination.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, Kareem was a pretty surly guy by all accounts back in the day, you know.
But I don't know if in that particular case you would have told the little kid to go, you know, bleep off. But
maybe not. But it was really funny to see that. It was really funny. Like Jerry West is talking about how I never did XYZ. Well, you wrote about it in your own book that you did all those things. So I mean, you forgot what you wrote in your autobiography. But I just thought that it was great. It was great to see. I had a big issue with changing really dumb things like facts, like Kareem, like in one of the episodes in the first game of the year, they said Kareem had 30 and 10. Well, he had 29 and 10. Like, that's a really simple thing that you don't have to embellish, like changing when the games were played on the road trip. Like, you didn't go from Detroit to Boston to Washington. You did it here. Like, you played the Celtics earlier in the year. Like, it was really simple stuff. Facts that they didn't really need to change, that I can go back literally on Basketball Reference and look at these things. I can see the box scores, the date, the actual score of the game. Why were you changing that?
I think that's artistic liberty right there.
Well, I have a theory about Laker fans out here from working in Los Angeles and being on the radio here. I was on the station of the Lakers for, you know, 10 years or so. Laker fans love the Lakers and they know everything about the Lakers. They don't really care about the rest of the NBA. They don't really care about the rest of basketball. They're not hoopers. They're Laker fans. It's a different energy.
No, you're wrong about that. They hate the Clippers.
Yes, so, I know that.
They love the Lakers. They hate the Clippers. They hate, the,
they hate
the
Warriors. So that's not necessary. Like, that's always my argument about funny. Cowboys fans, you know, because people, everyone has an opinion about Cowboys fans. We're the worst fans, this, that, and the third. You haven't won. But I've always maintained that the thing about Cowboys fans, at least me and the people I know, is we don't care about any team other than the Cowboys. But yet everybody else has an opinion on the Cowboys. So it's kind of like
it's
the same
nice
thing.
Of you to take this Laker winning time conversation and make it about you and the Cowboys.
That well,
by the way, much
I thought we were just having
series.
An open conversation, and I didn't know that, you know.
Would much rather watch that series, TJ. I'd rather watch a scripted series about the Cowboys in the 90s.
Well, guess who wrote that book?
Yeah, Jeff Perlman.
Hey,
yeah.
Yeah. Look at that.
Perlman almost wrote one about the Mets, so I'm good either way. We want to do the Mets.
That's what moved me out here to L.A. I don't know if you guys know that about me. I was trying to make a scripted TV show about the 80s Mets, and that got shut down by Major League Baseball real quick.
86 yeah. Mets, best team of all time.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So not a bunch winning time size. Fan, basically, is what we're getting
at. It's okay. It was fun. It was fine.
Yeah.
Basically,
perfectly
it's a TV
enjoyable.
Show.
Doesn't need to be nominated for anything.
Oh, really? You didn't like John C.'s
entertaining.
Performance as Jerry Buss?
I don't know who else is nominated for lead actor. I don't want to take it away from somebody else. That's what people do oftentimes when they say, he was snubbed. She was overlooked. I'm like, okay, well, then take it away from someone else.
I tell you one thing that I thought was great, and I tweeted this out back in February. I don't know if you watch Euphoria, but Zendaya... There was one episode in particular where I said, give her every championship, every trophy, an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, a Tony, a Heisman, a Lombardi, a Slammy, the Stanley Cup, the MTV Award, the Webby, the Universal Undisputed WWE Championship. Webby. Give them all to Zendaya.
Give it all to Zendaya.
Euphoria.
I love it.
She's
more
great.
Show coming up next. Ben Lyons in for Rich.
Yeah, I don't know who you take out. The best actor in a drama series were, well, I guess, was Winning Time a drama or is that considered a comedy? Probably drama. Jason Bateman, Brian Cox, Lee Jung-jae from Squid Game, Bob Odenkirk, Adam Scott, Jeremy Strong. Yeah, I don't know
yeah.
who gets
who you taking out.
You
got to tell somebody to stay
Nobody.
Home.
I mean, you could add an eighth guy, I guess.
Severance is the show that I love.
Time out, Ben. I'm sorry, not to interrupt. Chris Brockman's biggest pet peeve about me, right, when I do my top five lists is if I have the audacity to just not be able to choose between two, so I'll just add an extra one, he flips out. Now this guy's saying, there's seven, why don't we just give him eight? So make up, you can't have it both ways. You can't get mad at me when I add an extra one.
Yes, I can, actually.
And you get mad every time I do it.
The nominations aren't the top five. Here are the top five.
But they have a number. And that's the number that they go with.
No, they
with.
Don't. It changes every year. They nominate whoever they want.
Wow. Well, if that's the case, then I take back. No, I don't take back what I said.
You should take back what you said. Erroneous on all counts.
Flag the play.
Quick, make this about the Cowboys. Go.
Well, the Cowboys are going to go, I think, 12 and 6. 12, no, I don't
how many games? Do you know how many
settle
games?
Settle down just a little bit.
There's a great documentary about the history of the Cowboys cheerleaders that I thought was very good a couple years ago. And I would love to see a Jeff Perlman adapted, like scripted series about the 90s Cowboys. I think that would be really
Could
good.
I was trying to, please. Chris, I was trying to remember what I predicted the record to be, and I couldn't even remember what 11 and, did I say 11 wins, I think?
11 and 7 seems about right for Dallas.
Well, plus, you always say Rich likes to make it about himself, and he wasn't here, so I just figured I'd jump in there.
What were the best comedies? What were the best comedy nominations?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, there it is. Hey, we got it. All right. Like, big issue. Are you watching Barry?
Yeah, I like Barry.
But it's not a comedy.
No, it's not. It's very dark and disturbing.
Nothing about it is funny.
A kid from my high school class. Shout out to Matteo. Shout out to Matteo Borghese. He wrote Only Murders in the Building.
Oh, nice.
Class
very
of 2000 collegiate represent.
I mean, this is Ted Lasso's Running Away, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's just funny. Some nominations.
Abbott Elementary is really funny. I don't know if you guys have seen that on ABC. It's funny. But Ted Lasso's probably.
Hey, shout out to Curb. Nice to see something go Larry David's way.
Finally.
After all these years.
Yeah, that guy's got a lot of success. Years. A lot of success in front of him.
Yeah, poor guy.
Oh, my goodness. All right, we got our top 10 quarterbacks coming up next. We're going to do that next.
Top 10 quarterbacks heading into the year.
And Brockman promised his list was the best. So.
Top 10 quarterbacks.
Oh, my God.
My list is nice.
And then we got Jimmy King as well, 1/5 of the Fab Five. Talk a little JRLA. So don't go anywhere. The Rich Eisen Show rolls on.
for the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments. It's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents. Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.